Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to a New Day radio show where the dialogue is authentic, host is passionate, and we help you to become empowered, inspired, resilient, and transformed. Yes, our focus is to change our world by transforming one business and one life at a time. Now, here is your host, author, columnist, reinvention coach, entrepreneur, teacher, and speaker, Dr. Daphne Clark Hudson.
Happy fall, everyone. I hope you are taking some time to enjoy the beautiful colors outside. I just love and enjoy this time of the year. You know, I saw something amazing this weekend. I went to the post office and I saw a gentleman there that takes some pictures. And he sends his pictures out and have them converted to stamps, the U.S. stamps that he used to mail his letters. And I said, what an amazing idea. So, Jean, I want to thank you for sharing your pictures with Charlie and I. Thank you so very much. And before we get into the show for today, I'm very excited about what we're going to be discussing. I encourage you to call in. The number is 646-915-8166. Join us in the chat room as well. But before we get into this very important topic today, let us hear a little bit about our theme song.
Some friends you gain, some you lose. In the back of your mind, you're looking for love, but found the blues. That's why I've come from far away, to take away the blues. And I've come to say, I wanna be more than just somebody. I wanna be more than just a friend. I want to be more than someone special, 'cause special friends sometimes they won't understand.
Although I am very excited to be on the air this morning, I know for some families their hearts are heavy. Because I'm sure it's no secret, wherever you are around the world, you know that this is the second day that the U.S. government has shut down. And for tourists and people who are visiting our country and to enjoy some of the beautiful monuments and national parks and things like that, the Statue of Liberty and all of that, they are not able to do so because all those places are closed and a lot of families are home. So my prayer is right now that the Senate will rethink and open up, so because, I mean, families are the ones that are suffering here. And some small business owners who have government contracts. I mean, foods are being taken out of the mouths of babes. So please, let us stop playing politics and have some sensitivity about the nation. So I ask that you pray with me this morning so that this will end immediately. I want to thank you for joining me this morning. The number to call in is 646-915-8166, 646-915-8166. And the chat room is up and running. I really look forward to your conversations in the chat room. Sometimes it takes me a little while to get to it because I'm doing this without a producer. And I'm the only one manning the chat room as well as the switchboard. So just bear with me if you're there, if you're on the phone and I don't get to you, I will get to you. So just be patient with me. I want to encourage you to tune into my TV show if you are in the Connecticut area. I want you to tune in. We are in Bridgeport on Saturday afternoons, 7 p.m. We are in on Charter, the Greater Charter Network. We are on there on Thursdays at 11 a.m. and on Saturdays at 7 p.m. And we are in Cromwell on Comcast on Mondays at 7 p.m. and in Danbury on Comcast, we are on, we are on Monday nights and Wednesday mornings and Monday nights. They just switch my time again. So, you know, check the show out and let me know what you think. That's stepping into my 11th year with that show there, and I'm looking to do some new things. I'm looking for volunteers to help us kick it up a couple of notches. So I look for your support there. We have a cruise coming up for the breakfast feeding program. You all know that I founded a nonprofit, the Empowering People Foundation, Inc. And that focus of that is to work on a project at my former elementary school in Westmoreland in Jamaica, West Indies. The first leg of the project will be to supply a hot breakfast 5 days a week to all the students there at the Carmel Moravian School. It's a small school. It's only 100 plus students in the infant school and the primary school. So we are looking to raise enough money so we can provide the breakfast for them. After the breakfast program is up and running, it is our goal to build a cafeteria. And we also want to start an empowerment program for the families, the parents. It's a farming community and there's a lot of idle lands there in Carmel. So we are also negotiating that the church will lease the lands to the families and allow them to do the farming so they can grow the produce that is cooked at the school instead of the cook having to go to the market. They will supply fresh foods every 2 days to the cafeteria. And each family will be growing a different crop. We don't need people to be competing with each other. Each family will grow a specific crop and they will supply. And if they are serious about it and really do it with all their heart, they should be able to harvest enough produce and they can in the long run begin to supply the hotels in Negril and also in Montego Bay and Middle Quarters and even the other surrounding school. And, you know, this is just so phenomenal that I'm talking about this now because that's part of what I'm going to be discussing on the show today about locally grown foods. So I want for your prayers and, yes, I want your money too to help with this project. We have a cruise that we are doing June of 2019. 2014. You can email me at dynamicdaphne12@att.net and get more information about that cruise. And if you have not yet connected with me on social media, I want you to circle me on Google. I want you to connect with me on Twitter and also on Facebook and LinkedIn. The only one that I have not yet connected to is Instagram. So I want for you to just connect with me there. So today we are going to be talking about health and wealth. As entrepreneurs, we are diligently and assertively working towards building and creating wealth. And a lot of times when we get into conversation about wealth, there's a lot of emphasis and focus on money. However, there are so many different components of wealth. So many different components of wealth. And I know growing up as a child, one thing I used to hear people say, it doesn't make any sense to have a lot of money if you do not have the health to spend it. So, as entrepreneurs, I want to encourage us to concentrate on our health, knowing that this needs to be the number one focus, the number one thing on the top of our list when we decide we are setting our financial goals and what we want to do. Be sure to put health in the number one slot, because without health, we are not going to be able to attend to all the other sections of our wealth journey. You know, we talk about relationships, all those other things, the network, equal our net worth and all of that. But I know from personal experience as an entrepreneur, there are many of us who tend to be neglecting our health. And I want to focus on that on this episode. So grab your pen and papers and just work with me this morning as I discuss about the different things we can do to enjoy optimum health so we can indeed be as wealthy as we ought to be. I am actually sharing my experiences with you this morning and some of the things that I am doing to be sure that I have a wealthy health and healthy wealth and vice versa. I have adopted, as a matter of fact, let me go back a little. I remember growing up in Jamaica where my grandfather Edmund, he was a butcher. And I'm sure you have heard me share this here on the air before. And grandfather used to travel by foot from all across the district with his goat meat in his wooden tray, and he would sell it to the families. So it was fresh meats, and that's, you're going to hear me talk about later on about organic meats and all of that. And Grandfather Edmund used to walk around and sell his meat. The other way, we weren't accustomed to be getting frozen meats, because you'd butcher the chicken live, or goat meat or on those who go to the farmer's market. And I think that's one of the reasons why I just love the farmer's market. We go to the farmer's market. The biggest farmer's market day was on a Wednesday. You get all the meats and everything fresh from the butchers. And also on Saturday. So twice a week, you are able, those who could afford it, you were able to purchase fresh meat. So no wonder that I have returned to my roots in making sure that I look after my health in a positive way. So I know that a lot of my colleagues that I have been discussing with, they want to know what I'm doing different and they want me to share with them what I'm doing. And I'm here to share with you that the easiest way to maintain a healthy lifestyle is to adopt the practices of eating locally grown foods. Everybody can look around in their communities. And if you can't find it, ask a neighbor or grow it yourself. I notice here in my community, there are some of the homeowners who have converted their front lawns into vegetable gardens. And yes, they include a few flowers to make the edging of the garden. But I was amazed when I was walking and observed that. And I said, what better way to use your lawn than to grow the foods that your family eats? It's less money for the landscaping, and you are sure about the fresh foods that your family is really getting each time you prepare a meal. So, as I started doing my research when I was converting over to being fully committed to eating raw or juicing, I found a research by the Clemenceau Cooperative Extension, and I want to share that with you this morning. Everybody eats. Some prefers a hamburger, some like veggies, but what you eat is only the beginning. Here is something else to ask yourselves. Does it matter where my food comes from? Is there any difference between tomatoes grown locally versus those that arrive on the truck from 1,500 miles away? What does chemically ripening of fruits and vegetables mean? Is that safe for our families? What can you eat really impact the environment positively and negatively? Why locally grown foods? Have you ever heard the recent news reports on local foods? It seems more and more people are planting gardens or making a point to buy their foods from the farmers in their community. Why do you suppose this is? Do you think locally grown foods are healthier, fresher, cleaner, or better tasting? There's certainly a lot to consider here. Let's begin with the news report along with the local foods interest. Other stores details all kind of foods recall. It seems that every month We hear about another batch of contaminated foods, along with warnings about eating them. Killer peanut butter, killer spinach, killer dog food. What's next? Is some contaminated items already in our freezers? And these are questions that each and every one of us needs to ask ourselves. Reasons to buy locally grown foods. And I'm going to go slowly so you can probably write these down. If you are not already buying locally grown foods, the number one, their freshness. Local fruits and vegetables are usually harvested and sold quickly, so they do not contain the preservatives that are added to products shipped long distance and placed in a cold storage. Number two, their tastes. Produce that is ripe on the vine has better texture and flavor than produce harvest on ripe and treated with chemicals and ripening during shipping. Number three, nutritional value declines, often drastically, as time passes after harvesting. Number four, improving the local economy. When you and I buy locally or we grow our own gardens, we circulate our food dollars inside our local community. Because if we buy the plants and we make our own garden, we are buying the soil from the local garden center. We are buying the seeds and so on, the boxes that we plant them in. So we are supporting each other. Number five, strengthening producers' consumer relations. That's one thing when we support locally grown foods that is happening. When purchasing foods locally, consumers can ask how the product was grown and processed, what chemicals, if any, were used, and any other questions they may have. People tend to trust individuals they know, and they become repeat customers. That is so true, because when I go to the farmer's market, it's like I'm with family. You know, they greet you by name, and it's so good. If they hadn't seen you 1 week, they go over, what happened? I missed you last week. And they go over that. So it's very important to do those things and build relationships while we support the locally grown farmers. Now, number six. Eating local means more for the local economy. According to a study by the New Economics Foundation in London, a dollar spent locally generates twice as much income for the local economy. When businesses are not owned locally, money leaves the community at every transaction. Number seven, locally grown produce is fresher. While produce that is purchased in the supermarket or the big box store has been in transit or cold storage for days or weeks, products that you purchase at the local farmer's market has often been picked within 24 hours of your purchase. This freshness is not affected the taste of your food, but the natural value, which declines with time. Number 8, local foods just plain tastes better. Have you ever tried a vine-ripe tomato picked 24 hours versus one you get in the stores? I don't think I need to say anything else about that. Number 9, locally grown fruits and vegetables takes longer to ripen because the produce will be handled less. Locally grown fruits does not have to be rugged or stand up for the rigor of the shipping. This means that you are going to be getting peaches so ripe that they fall apart as you eat them. Figs that could have been smashed to bits if they were sold using traditional methods, and melons that were allowed to ripen until the last possible minute on the vine. And I tell you, I started drooling because yesterday I was eating a peach that I picked up at the farmer's market, and I tell you, it was so juicy and soft, and the juice was running down my arms, and I was licking it. I didn't want anything to go to waste. It is so true, and versus the other peaches, if you buy them in the store, they are so hard. They are as hard as a solid rock. Number 10, eating local is better for air quality pollution than eating organic. In March of 2005 study by the journal Food Policy, it was found that the miles that organic food often travels to our plate creates environmental damage that outweighs the benefit of buying organic. And let me just add to this little mix right here. There are numerous organic co-ops in our local community. There are lots of times that their waiting list is so long. But I tell you, they say, ask and you shall receive. All you need to do, if your family cannot personally get on the list, find someone who is already on the list and give them some money to add you to their portion that they are buying. There are some that will even deliver to your homes. But they say where there is a will, there is a way. So, yes, if it's going to be traveled and get here to you stale, then it really doesn't make a sense for you to eat organic. But if you do your due diligence and do your homework, you will find that they are local organic farms close to you. Or even if it's a few miles away, they probably will ship to you. Number 11, buying local food keeps us in touch with the season. By eating with the season, we are eating foods when they are in their peak taste. are the most abundant and the least expensive. I know there's a restaurant close to where I live, and they do not have regular menu because everything they serve in the kitchen is locally grown and harvested. So you go, and they will bring the menu out for today. This is what we have, and this is what we are going to be cooking and serving today. And I tell you, oh, the taste is amazing. The food there, it is just so amazing to be sitting there and just eating. You feel you're eating life. You're adding life to yourselves and to your body. So you enjoy the meal much, much more. Number 12, buying locally grown foods is fodder for a wonderful story. Whether it's the farmer who brings apples to the market or the baker who makes bread, knowing part of the story about your food is such a powerful part of enjoying the meal. Again, I want to tell you this, you know, it's fall now, so all the squashes are coming out. And for years, I've been cooking acorn squash or butternut squash. But this week, when I went to the farmer's market, there was a beautiful long squash, yellow with green stripes and beautifully shaped. And I've never had that before. So I asked the lady at the stand what kind of a squash it was, and she told me the name, and I forgot. So I went there late this past Saturday. So next Saturday when I go, I'll be sure to bring my pad so I can write the names of the different things there and take my camera to take some pictures as well, so I can use them here on the show to show you. And I said to her, well, how do you prepare this squash? And she says to me, oh, I cut both ends off, I dice it, and I leave the seeds in, and I saute it, and I add some of the Russian kale in it. And then there was another customer standing right next to me, and she turned and said, oh, well, I don't put the kale in mine, but I put mine in the oven and I baked it. So here I was coming home with two different recipes. So what I did, I cut the ends off. I washed it. I diced it. I baste a dish with some olive oil. I sprinkle a little sea salt on my diced squash with some olive oil, and I stuck it in the oven. And when it was 3/4 done, I remove it from the oven. I spin in my Russian kale, and I put it back in there for 4 minutes. And my heavens, it was the most delicious meal I have ever had. And I said, my, here I am going to the health food stores and buying the raw pumpkin seed and raw sunflower seeds and all of that. Yet, over the years, I have been discarding the seeds from my squash. So here I am, I'm telling you right now, I won't be throwing out any more of the seeds. I'm going to be including them in whatever I eat. So don't be afraid to try new things. I keep telling everyone, if you try it and you don't like it, it's not the end of the world. Just go out there and have fun in the kitchen. Number 13 Eating local protects us from bioterrorism. Food with less distance to travel from farm to plate has less susceptibility to harmful contamination. You know, that is so true, because I know that sometimes during the week, I'll go to a farm to pick up some produce that I am out of. And I know, I watch the person cut it, you know. I watch her clip and harvest my kale. I watch her do all of that. And all the other herbs, I watch her harvest them. So I know there is, you know, less possibility for contamination. Number 14, local foods translate to more variety. When a farmer is producing food that will not travel a long distance, will have a shorter shelf life and does not have a high yield demand, the farmer is free to try small crops of various fruits and vegetables that would probably never make it to the larger supermarket. Supermarkets are interested in selling name brand fruits, romaine lettuce, red delicious apples, russet potatoes. Local producers often play with their crops from year to year, trying out little gem lettuce, senshu apples, and chieftain potatoes. And I know that is so true, because there are numerous farms on my way driving home, and I can just stop and just pick up what I need. And if, for example, the farmer that I get my fresh basil from, I go and I see a couple stem of basils there, and I linger around to see him come, because I want for him to go and cut me a huge bunch of the fresh basil. And I know that I'm his best basil customer. Number 15, supporting local providers supports responsibility, responsible land development. When you buy local, you give those with local open space, farms and pastures, an economic reason to stay open and develop. Okay? All right. So let us continue. If you're just joining, we are talking about what we eat and how that ties into us building wealth. We must be experiencing optimum health in order to work on all the other components or leg of our wealth journey. What about the environment? That is something that we must consider when we are choosing the foods that we eat. On an average, most foods travel over 1,500 miles before it reaches our plates. These are called food miles. That distance obviously has a negative impact on the environment. Transportation costs by truck, rail, or air must be added to the price that we each pays. The transporting vehicle burns fossil fuel that pollutes the environment. Often, packing is heavier to protect content traveling great distance. and preservatives may be applied to maintain freshness. All of these things have a negative impact on the environment. Next, economics of scale must be considered. What does that mean? Well, to give an example, one large truck that carries 60,000 pounds of tomatoes may cause less pollution than 50 small trucks carrying 1,000 pounds each. However, the packaging, preservatives, and lack of freshness still remains as a negative. And don't forget about the money. Would you rather help create and maintain food-related jobs in your local community or send your food dollars to another state or, as a matter of fact, even another country? To really understand what's most important about the food we eat, we need to understand the entire food system. And here's how the local food system is made up. We have the production, and then the production goes into the distribution. Distribution is tied into the processing. The processing challenges it to the consumer or the consumption. And then the consumption triggers into waste recovery. So that's what the local food systems look like. Now, what's a food system? A food system is the often complex network of food producers, for example, our farmers, food consumers or eaters, you and I, and the businesses that link us together. The five key links to this food chain are the ones I share with you before, and I'll just go over them again. The production, the distribution, the processing, the consumption, and the waste recovery. A local food system does more than just connect growers, businesses, and consumers in a region. It considers the bigger issue of health and nutrition, economic development, environmental sustainability, and overall community strength. Together, these elements greatly impact how people in the community live and interact. Increasingly, these elements are governed by food policy. Ladies and gentlemen, it's all about the education. And you and I need to be educated consumers. It's shameful to say that we spend more time investigating about the things we wear and the things that really does not matter as much as what goes inside of us. So this episode today is here to educate you and to let you know that you deserve to treat your health better. There are a lot of us that's coming down with devastating diseases. And it's not that it's in our genes. These diseases are coming around based on what we are eating, what's going in our mouths. So we can stop these diseases dead in their tracks by the way we adjust and modify our diets. So let us hear a word from our sponsors. And if you're just joining us, please call in 646-915-8166 and let's talk about eating locally grown foods.
AMD Law Group is an international law practice committed to assisting you in realizing your strategic business goals. Led by Ms. Aurelia Mitchell Durant, Senior Managing Partner, AMD Law specializes in international business, international intellectual property, and general internet law. We also support organizations in resolving corporate compliance issues. Addressing the legal needs of technology firms and other businesses serving both domestic and international markets, we are uniquely positioned to assist both startups and long-established organizations. Although AMD seeks to proactively avoid litigation wherever possible, we are fully capable and ready to litigate on your behalf. AMD Law Group. Find us online at amdlawgroup.com or contact us at 347-699-4AMD. That's 347-699-4263. Let us help you pursue and protect your dreams.
I am here to tell you, even if you are living in New York City, you can still grow foods. You can buy locally grown. I know right there at Battery Park, they have an amazing organic garden, just very close to the Staten Island Ferry. They have an amazing organic garden there. So if you're really interested, where you live does not make a difference. You just need to make the commitment that I deserve to eat locally grown foods. I deserve this. My family deserves this. So, you know, make an effort. My friends in Queens, they have community gardens where they lease plots of land over there in off of Merritt Boulevard, and they plant a garden. There's one family that their entire backyard is cemented, and yet they have some of the most delicious vegetables that they grow there. And you ask, well, if their backyard is cemented, how do they do that? Well, all their farming is done in plastic buckets, and they all year around, they don't have enough space to put the plants during the winter. But I'm sure if they had room to transfer those plants in the winter, they would have they would be harvesting all through the winter as well. And even if you have a windowsill, you know, and some flower pots, put something in it, grow it, get the children involved. And this way you will not need to convince them about eating what's on their plate, because they're going to be so excited about eating what it is they help to grow. Now let's talk about food policies. A food policy consists of the rules and regulations that govern how food is produced and distributed. These are generally run by the Food Policy Council. Those primary goal is to cultivate, a stronger and more sustainable local food system in order to bring benefits to the residents of a region. And some of these food policies includes food access. Many communities are considered food deserts. Where it's difficult for residents to find foods needed to support a healthy diet. The supermarkets have left the neighborhoods, and the only place to buy food is a convenience store. Locally, based food systems can help connect local growers and farmers and urban residents, adding to the availability of healthy foods. Health and nutrition. A local food policy can help increase the availability of fresh fruits and vegetables. This can keep balance the tendency in our society to eat highly processed fast foods that cause heart disease, diabetes, and other diet-related illnesses. Also, a food policy can encourage improved institutional nutrition standards at schools, hospitals, and large corporations. Community development. Farmers markets, quick stop fresh food centers, community and market gardens, and other outlets for local foods can improve health in neighborhoods while creating space for people to gather, socialize, learn, and enjoy their community together. Economic development. There are many new business opportunities in food production, distribution, processing, and restaurant or food service operations. Urban agriculture and gardening. Many cities have seen population loss from downtown and close in neighborhoods in the recent years. Vacant lots provide opportunities for green space to support community gardens, market gardens, or native plants preserves. These increase the supply for healthy foods. Environmental sustainability. Since most food travels so far, increasing with the use of local foods can reduce reliance on fossil fuels and related carbon emissions. Urban rural partnerships. Local foods systems can help connect urban and rural populations by encouraging social interaction and business partnerships. This helps to build stronger regional economics. The dynamics of local food systems are complex and difficult to influence on an individual basis. However, there are a number of things that can be done to collectively impact the asset to local foods within our community. All right, let me get a drink of water to moisten my throat. All right, if you are just joining, we are talking about food, food, food. So call in 646-915-8166. 646-915-8166. There's one more thing I want to announce, is that I'm seeking for a producer / co-host for this amazing show. So please send your bio or resumes to dynamicdaphne12@att.net. And if we see that you're a match, I want, before you send your resume out, I want you to go on blogtalkradio.com/Daphne-Clark-Hudson and thumb through and listen to some of the shows before you submit your resume or your bio. The reason for that is that I want you to make sure that you support the brand, and that you want to work alongside me. It does not matter what country you're in. I just request that you support the brand. You believe in what I'm doing. You're passionate about whatever you get involved in. You are highly self-motivated, and that you speak English. You need to be fluent in English. You can speak other languages, which will be advantageous in the long run, because our listeners are from all over the world. We are on the cusp of 100,000 listeners, and I tell you, I'm going to celebrate when it gets to 100,000. So I hope that you believe in what I'm doing, and you are ready to support me there. So inbox me here on the radio show, or send me a message or an email, dynamicdaphne12@att.net. Let me hear from you, and let us talk about how you can join me on my mission here on the World Wide Web on Blog Talk Radio. Let's continue here. Things you do. There are ways that you can begin to make a difference in your homes about what you eat and all of that. So let's look at our meal planning. Incorporate at least 2 locally grown or processed foods to your family's meal each week. For a month. Next month, you try to add 3 or 4. Family food assessment. Survey your family's eating habits. Make a list of the types of foods your family eats. Think about whether some of these foods can be purchased from local farmers or producers. Discuss this during a meal with your family. What do you think? And what do they think? And don't be afraid, because a lot of times we, the provider, we are more afraid, and we don't want to step out and involve the next of the rest of the family. Make a list of the stores where your family usually buy their foods. Are the stores owned locally, or are they regional, national chains? Why does your family choose to shop there? Does your family ever shop at the farmers market? If not, what would make you shop? What would make you stop shopping where you're shopping now and shop there? Are you concerned with food safety? If so, list four things that might cause your concern. Start a compost bin in your kitchen. Keep it clean and fresh by emptying every few days into the compost pile outside. Go, you can research on on the Google search. You can search the internet to find out how you can start a compost pile. And this is what you're going to use as a manure to start your window boxes or the boxes or pails that you're planting your produce outside. Plan and plant a small garden in this spring. If space is an issue, try raised beds, patio, or windowsill pots. Do a report for your encourage your children to do a report for their school or their clubs. A lot of teenagers go to youth groups and things like that. If you are if you own a school or if you are a daycare provider, here are some things that you can do. Ask the cook or the cafeteria director if they serve any local foods. Dig deep. Ask them why or why not. Do a quick internet search on local foods in schools and write a short essay describing your findings. Could your school participate? What foods would be easy to begin with? And let me tell you, it just takes one person to begin to make a difference. So you don't need the whole school, you don't need the whole class. Just you go out and do the work and share the information. And once you're ready to launch the program, you're going to have a lot of support. Let me just get a sip of water. All right, got to moisten the throat. Do the search. Organize a campaign to ask your school to offer fruits that is grown locally, include vending machines. Share related resources found on the internet, like farm schools, with your school principal. And I know some schools you don't get the opportunity to see the principal. However, you know, you can start with your guidance counselor. Just tell them what's on your minds and then you can take it from there. Community. You can do, as a member of the community, start where you shop. Ask your supermarket produce manager if they purchase foods that are grown or produced locally. Dig deep. Ask for their definition of local. Do they consider it within 50 miles radius, or is it 250 miles. Not all local labels are required. Investigate restaurants in your town that serve local grown or produced foods. The next time your family eats out, ask to go to one of them. Remember to tell the restaurant why you choose them. Investigate farmers' markets in your area. How many are there? What days and hours do they operate? What types of foods and produce do they sell? CSA signups. Go online and search for Community Support Agriculture. And that's the acronym CSA. Or Food Co-op, which you heard me spoke of earlier in the segment. In your area, investigate the pricing structure and compare it to the supermarket expense. You're going to find out that you are spending less. You're getting fresh seasonal foods, and it tastes much better. There are many resources that you can find online to help you on this process. There is, you can go to www.farmtoschool.org. That can help you. You can go to localharvest.org. You can go to Center for Food Safety. And you can go to SARE.org. And all these resources will help you to make the right decision for your families. Here are some additional benefits for eating locally grown foods. Farmers market shoppers had this to say. I welcome guest 418 to the show, and we're talking about eating locally grown foods. And let me know whether or not you are someone that buy locally grown foods. So you can either type it in the box or you can call in 646-915-8166. Let me know what your thoughts are on eating locally grown foods. Have you ever grown anything that you prepare for your families? Let me know that you're hearing me. Just type a yes in the box or a no, please. Guess 418. Okay. So there was a survey that was done with people who were shopping at the farmers a farmers market. And here is what they had to say. It seems as if everyone is talking about eating foods grown locally these days. The number of farmers markets in the U.S. increased by 54% between 2008 and 2011. According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the National Restaurant Association says that menus featuring locally produced fruits, vegetables, meat, seafood, and wine are among the hottest trends this year, and sections just for local foods are sprouting up in the big box stores and supermarkets. The growing movement has even inspired a new word, la locavore, meaning someone who prefers food that hasn't moved a long distance to market. But does eating this way automatically means you're eating healthier? Here's a quick look at the trend. It is more nutritious. Eating a balanced diet that includes plenty of produce has been linked to numerous health benefits. So, it makes sense that buying foods from nearby farms is a healthier move. A review of 16 studies in March of 2010, Journal of American Diabetes Association, found that farmers' market have the potential to increase, to produce, and lead to more healthful eating, especially as certain communities, in certain communities. But the author said that the more well-designed studies are needed to establish definite connections. One thing that's clear is that fresh food trends to have more nutrient than food that was picked days or weeks ago, and in some instances, months. Does it taste better? Yes, this is just an affirmation because I've been talking at the top of the hour how much better this locally grown foods taste. Surveys conducted at farmers markets have found that people tend to shop there because they think the food is higher quality and tastes healthier. For example, a recent survey conducted at a farmers market in Brownsville, Texas, found that more than 80% of shoppers said the produce was better than that they found in other places they shopped. More than half said they ate more fruits and vegetables as a result of shopping at the farmers market. Is local the same as organic? No. But some vendors might have organic certification, and others might follow organic practices, such as minimize the use of chemical fertilizers and pesticides, and raising animals humanely and without antibiotics and growth hormones. The gold standard is to buy both locally and organic. The bottom line here, guys, is while the jury is still out on the special health benefits of eating local produce food, there's no question that choosing a bounty of fresh unprocessed foods is better for you than, say, grabbing a prepared meal high in sodium and fat from the freezer aisle of a supermarket. And everyone can benefit from eating more fruit and vegetables. The cornerstone of most farmers' market. If you don't have one nearby or a local food section in your store, in your grocery store, consider joining a community agricultural co-op, CSA. Yes, why should we buy and eat local foods? Here are 8 straightforward benefits for eating local foods. Local foods, eating local foods is better for us. It's also better for the environment. And most importantly, your taste buds love it. Here are the top 8 big umbrella style reasons you might want to consider eating more local foods. Local foods are fresher, and this portion is like an affirmation of what I've been talking about all morning. They're fresher, and they simply taste better. Local foods is fresher and tastes better than foods that has been trucked or flown into from thousands of miles away. Think you can taste the difference between lettuce picked yesterday and lettuce picked last week? Factory washed and sealed in a plastic bag? Yes, you can. And fresh food, it lasts much longer. Local foods are seasonal and tastes much, much better. The fewer steps there are between our food sources and our tables is less chance there is for contamination. Also, when you know where your food comes from and who grows it, you know a lot more about the food. During the E. coli breakout in spinach in 2006, it was known the spinach in, you can know the spinach in your refrigerator where it came from if you purchase it at the farmer's market, and you don't have to get worried or concerned about it. The sixth reason, local foods promote variety, and this again is affirmation because I spoke about that at the top of the hour. Local foods tend to create a great variety of foods available. Farmers who run community-supported agricultural programs, CSAs, sell at farmers' market and provide local restaurants have the demand and hence the economic support for the raising more types of produce and livestock. This leaves a brand divine, early girls and lemon boys instead of tomatoes. Local food support your local economy. Money spent with local farmers, growers, and artisans, and locally owned provars and restaurants, all stays close to home. It works to build your local economy instead of being handed over to a corporation in another city, state, or country. Since the food moves through fewer hands, more of the money you spend tends to get to the people growing it. To make the biggest local economic impact with your food's budget. Seek out producers who pay their workers a fair wage and practice social justice in their businesses. Local foods create community. Knowing where your food is from connects you to the people who raise and grow it. Instead of having a single relationship to a big supermarket, you develop a smaller connection with more food sources. All of a sudden, you know vendors at the farmer's market, the buying manager at the local cheese shop, the butcher at the at your favorite meat counter, the workers at the co-op that sells local eggs, the roaster and baster at the local cafe. For some people, the benefit of this is social and psychological. For all of us, though, it pays off in the foods we eat. People who know you tend to want to help you, whether it's giving you a deal on a leg of lamb, letting you know when your favorite tomatoes will be on sale, or setting aside a wedge of your favorite cheese. Eat locally. Amazingly, it can connect you to the larger world. Yes. And, you know, one of the questions that I've been asked is, are you vegetarian or vegan? I am neither. I'm just like eating majority raw. And I am, how do I put that? I'm juicing, you know. But for example, this week I was up in the Bridgeport area. And I, back home in Jamaica, I used to love pickled mackerel. At least in my household, that's what we call it, pickled mackerel with green bananas. And I went in the store, the food store, and I asked the owner, who was Asian, do you sell pickled mackerel? And he said, huh? I said, do you sell pickled mackerel? He said, no, but I continue to walk the stores, pick up what I wanted. I had gone there to get some cactus pears. And I was blessed to find a Jamaican woman. And I said to her, do they sell pickled mackerel here? She said, yes, man, salt mackerel. And even though I laughed because here we are from the same country, yet in our household, we call this particular produce a different name. So she told me, yes, they sold it. And she said, come with me. And she showed me. So what was tickling to me is that I went back to the guy that I had asked, the Asian man. And I said, here is what I was asking you for. He said, oh, salt mackerel. I don't know us pickle, I know salt mackerel. So it was amazing, and we had a good laugh about it. So I'm sharing this to say I'm neither vegan nor vegetarian. I'm just selective as to what I eat. I focus on eating healthier. My emphasis is on eating locally grown foods. I pick up things fresh every 2 days when I pass the farm, and that's what I am eating. That's what it is now. I don't know 3 months down the road whether I'm going to be going vegan or fully vegetarian. I just know that I'm committed to eating fresh and eating locally grown food. So As soon as I do the switch over, I'll be sure to let you know. All right? Let's, we have 34 minutes remaining on the show. And we, a lot of times you hear people say, oh, I eat meat, but I only eat organic meat. What do they really mean by that? And what's considered or labeled as organic meat? And here is what you can consider organic meats. If the beef is grass-fed, that's organic. You can do organic chicken. And I think the name for that too is free range. They're not cooped up in a pen. They're running wild all outside there. Organic beef. And these prices are extremely competitive. I know that in the health food stores here, I'm not going to be calling names because they are not sponsoring the show. But if you look in your community and you ask the right questions, they will tell you what the organic meats they have or where you can get organic meats to buy. There are some local butchers that do that. The other thing to consider when you want to choose organic meats is that there are no preservatives. There are no hormones, no antibiotics, and no pesticides that has come in contact with this with these meats. So that's just a little briefing about what is considered as organic meat. Is eating locally the best? Consuming only foods that have been grown close to your home has become a popular way to try and improve your nutrition, reduce the world's carbon emission, and try to support the local economy. However, where a food is grown is only one of the dozens of critical factors that need to be taken into account. And if you purchase your food based exclusively on how many miles away it was grown, you may actually end up making the worst decision of your life. Organic still matters, right? Whether you're eating it already or not, survey says it still matters. Everything is local to somebody. Bad food are no exceptions. Local farms, buying in your own backyard, all of these descriptions inspire images of an all-natural small farmer supporting his or her family by raising modest amount of the very best products and selling them in good faith from one neighborhood to another. However, the local label is no way guarantees this. In fact, the government doesn't even recognize a local label. It's left up to the individual producer and marketers to determine what it means. So again, it goes back to our education. We must do our due diligence. Ask the right questions. Furthermore, depending on where exactly you live, you are probably more likely to live by grain-fed lots and pesticides-heavy monocultures than grass-fed cattle ranches. And organic, non-GMO farms. Farms that use these cheap and slightly toxic techniques are called conventional for a reason. In order to make sure that your products are of the highest quality, local or otherwise, you still need to check from the official check for the official government label. Variety is still vital. Whole Foods generally defines local as being within 200 miles, while many go local. Africanos have an even stricter definition. This may work pretty well for states like California, famous for their agricultural variety and expansive seashore. But what about states which are mostly deserts? What do people in Arizona, Mexico, Nevada, Utah, or Colorado do when they want to improve their omega-3 levels? For a lot of people in America, there aren't even any beaches within 200 miles, let alone reliable sources of quality wild-caught seafood. Despite the many and varied advantages of naturally wild-caught salmon and the terrible nutritional defects of the ecological destruction caused by fish farms, I can't see many local food fanatics moving to Alaska. If you are lucky enough to live near a great farmers market that reliably offers all the grass-fed beef, organic chicken, and wild-caught seafood you want every week, you are in the minority. Most of us either don't live near a reliable local source for the healthy foods we need to feed our families, or don't have the inclination to drive to a farmer's market only to be disappointed when they don't have what we need. You know, and I can understand that because I know from experience that to get everything you need, you must be at the farmer's market, and I'm going to say on the crack of dawn. Ours is not really the crack of dawn because it starts at 9 o'clock. However, you must be there promptly at 9 to be sure you get everything that you need on your shopping list. So if there's someone that's going to be driving miles and miles away, maybe by the time they get all the family members together and get there, they are so right. Some things might just be depleted. Carbon footprints don't always come from cars. A recent study found that it would actually be more environmentally friendly for people in the UK to import certain foods all the way from New Zealand than to grow it locally. How? Why? Well, it's important to keep in mind that the transportation of the food isn't the only thing about agriculture that can have an impact on the environment. New Zealand's production methods were simply that much better at conserving energy. Which do you think would waste more money? Transporting a crops worthy of tomatoes from a warmer climate or using a massive heating greenhouse garden to artificially create a warmer climate for 3 to 6 months over the winter? Even if your chicken is local, do you know if the chicken, what the chicken feed is? It takes at least 3 pounds of feed to raise a pound of chicken. So, if the feed comes from the Midwest, would not it make more sense to raise the chickens near the source of the feed and transport the final product than to grow it locally? I'd like to finish this off by trying to clarify the economic thinking of the shop's local environment, local movement. Buy things that come from your own state because the honest and hard-working people who live next to you deserves the money way more than people who live I'd like to finish this off by trying to clarify the economic thinking of the shop local and of shopping local movement. Buy things that come from your own state because the honest, hard-working people who live next to you deserves your money way more than honest, hard-working people in the next state over. Or the honest, hard-working people from other countries. Buying local is a great concept when it works. However, we should recognize that not everything can or should be raised locally. Again, it goes back to us educating ourselves and ladies, please do not do this alone. Engage your families in the conversation because you're going to find out, especially if you have teenagers or children, when you include them in the conversation about your switch or change of the food, it's not going to be as challenging for you to make the switch as if you did not include them. If you are blessed to be living alone like I am, then you just do what you want to do and make what you want to do, create this thing, just go in the kitchen and have a lot of fun. But if you have a family, I encourage you to include them in the conversation and let them help you make the choices. It is not as challenging as you may think. Now, let me go back to the topic of entrepreneurship. Yes, we all deserve to create wealth. But as I said at the top of the hour, what sense or what value would it add to our lives if we focus on creating millions, yet our health is deteriorating? So I'm here this morning to this afternoon to ask you to rethink and make commitments to yourself. Get things in priority order. It's not bad to have money, and money, as we were taught, is not the root of all evil. The worship of money is. Let me just get me some water. So, it's not a shame for us to want to create wealth. However, what I want for us to do is to start creating a better health. And you're going to find out the healthier you become, the easier and quicker the other aspects of our wealth creating is going to begin to just fall into place. So we are just going to begin to attract these additional things. We are going to look better. We feel better. We have higher energy. And we are attracting the right people around us. Because people want to be around you when they see that you are doing things differently. You are making a mark on success. You are just doing things differently. And be generous and share the information. Be grateful. Show gratitude for that which you have learned. And, you know, we as a race, as a species, we tend to want to hoard everything. And we don't want to share. But let us not be selfish. Let us bless others and help others. You know, there are many people that are dying from high blood pressure and diabetes and other devastating diseases, even cancer. And research has shown that we can all stop these things in their tracks. And how can we do that? By modifying our diet, you know. Yes, generic things are cheaper, but read the labels. Read how they are manufactured, where they come from. Are you really getting the nutrients out of it that you need? It is better to buy the right thing and to get the right result than to be buying the cheap things. You know, the quantity is not what is important here. The quality is what we need to look at. So, stop saying that the wild-caught salmon is expensive because you deserve it. You know, instead of eating a whole half a pound, you know, you can cut the pound in 4 servings. And there you have 4 meals if you live alone. If you do not live alone, still sacrifice and figure, are we going to have it once a month or twice a month? And I remember growing up in Jamaica, West Indies. You heard me talk about living on the farm. But we did not have meats all the time. And this is why I am so versed on cooking vegetables and cooking peas and beans. Like a friend of mine said to me once, you can make a gourmet meal out of rocks. Because I grew up poor. And we made a meal. My mother made a meal out of what was being harvested. You know, gungu peas, red peas, you call them kidney beans here, callaloo, cabbage, bush cabbage, chocho, turnip, carrots, what else? The bud from the pumpkin vine, you cut it and you take the bud off of the Christophine, the chocho tree as well, and you make it into a pepper pot soup. And my, was that nutritious and delicious. And that's why I'm so excited about what I'm doing now, going back to my roots when it comes to eating. Because, you know, you have these diseases and the doctors do their best to keep us on the pharmaceutical. However, we must be smart enough to include our eating habits as part of that treatment. I'm here to tell you that most of the doctors are not readily to accept you when you go in there or have a conversation about eating better. They are looking to pack on the pills on what you're doing. But you need to be assertive. Educate yourself. I remember last month when I went to my doctor, he said, "Wow, you're looking good. Half of you is gone." I said, "Thank you. It is all good. It is all good." And I used to go in there and I used to battle with him about what I was eating and all of that. And then I said, "No, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm just going to continue eating. I'm taking the medication that he suggests. However, I'm including all the supplements that my body needs. And thank God I'm only down to 2 medication when he had me on 6. I'm down to 2 now. And when I go back with God's help, I know that by the beginning of 2014, I will be off of all of those medication because of my new adoption of the way I eat. Raw foods, healthy foods. I'm putting life inside of me. So my muscles and my body, my cells, they are getting the nutrient. They are getting life. And I encourage you to do the same thing. You owe it to yourself. It doesn't matter. You said that, "Oh, my mother has this. My father had that. My auntie has this and this run in my family." You can stop that from happening to you. You don't need to go down like that. And as entrepreneurs, there is no sense in building financial wealth if you're not going to be around to enjoy it, to see your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. So let us come together as entrepreneurs today. Let us make a commitment. It does not matter where you are. Let us make the commitment that beginning right now. I know it's 10 minutes to 12 here in the U.S. It's lunchtime. Be careful what you're going to be having for lunch. Make sense. Make sure that whatever you're eating makes sense. That you're putting life inside of you because your cells are depending on it. Your mind needs the nutrient to be sharp. Your vision needs the nutrient so you can see. All aspects of your 5 senses are depending on you to feed them the right way. Again, I just pray that this segment today has helped to enhance your life. And I look forward to hearing from you when you share your stories and your experiences of what this new lifestyle has done for you. Again, I encourage you, if you are in the Danbury area, be sure to watch the A New Day show on Comcast at Channel 23. If you are in Newtown, watch the A New Day on Charter. You can just look on your schedule to see the exact time, because sometimes they switch my times around. If you are on SoundView, look up for Saturday's What Time My Show is on there. And if you have a story that you would like to share, I want you to inbox me here on the radio show or send me an email, dynamicdaphne12@att.net. If you have not yet connected with me on any of the social media, reach out to the sister. I'm on Twitter. Circle me on Google. I want you to connect with me on LinkedIn. Connect with me on Facebook. And ladies, remember that I am the president of the National Association of Professional Women Litchfield County Chapter. I would like to invite you to visit with us on the fourth Tuesday of each month. We are meeting for networking and orders in the bistro at 6 p.m. and our meeting goes for an hour, 7 to 8 p.m. I need your support there. It's a phenomenal organization. As a matter of fact, it's more of a movement, because women are doing amazing, amazing things. So, again, I will see you on Sunday. Our Sunday episode is at 7 p.m. And if you have a story that you want to share or you know someone, just give me a call or message me and I will set up time for a conversation with them. The cruise is June the 14th. We are going to Europe and we have an opportunity for a payment plan. We want you to reach out to us and we will send you more information about the cruise. So that's it for today. I pray that you are taking time to enjoy the change of season and be grateful. I always love the fall, because people who don't know how to coordinate their colors, all they need to do is to look outside on the beautiful leaves and they can just pull something together before they know it. So they don't have to go outside looking uncoordinated. So use this time both for your attire and your glamour. Take some pictures, go out there and have fun. Live and enjoy one day at a time, because who knows, this might be your last. So this is Dynamic Daphne, the queen of the empowered soul and host of the A New Day radio show, where we believe in the inspiration, the empowering, and the education of entrepreneurs and small business people. We are on a mission to change our world by transforming one life at a time and one business at a time. If for those who are interested in donating to the Carmel Moravian Breakfast Feeding Program, you can use the email dynamicdaphne12@att.net, and you can use that to do your donations on PayPal. If you choose to, you can look on the GoFundMe.com and look for the breakfast feeding program. Every dollar that you donate will go directly to the breakfast feeding program, which we are looking to raise enough monies to do that. And afterwards, we want to raise some money to do the cafeteria. So here I am. I am depending on you. So long. I'll see you again. And in the meantime, do not take your eyes off of your destiny.
He's a strong God. You may not be able to touch it right now. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Hallelujah. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Everybody. You're going into a new dimension tonight. You'll never ever see it again the same way. You'll never ever touch it again the same way. You've been called with a great call. It's a monumental call. You've been called to change nations and generations. Come on and praise your God.
Because they are starting training. She starts one. They start one yesterday. Hold on, let me turn on the thing here because I was on the radio. I just heard. Come here. Hold on.